right. Welcome. This is Mr. Randolph coming to you from room 340 at the Streeter Township High School podcast studio. And this is the first official episode of Just Another Movie Podcast. Now, before we get into the actual movie podcast and we start talking to each other, I do have a special guest here today. This is Xavier Dean. Xavier, go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
Hello, I am Xavier Dean, and I am a senior here at the high school.
Excellent, excellent. So let me explain real quick where the name Just Another Movie Podcast comes from. If you're one of those people who enjoys podcasting or has enjoyed listening to podcasts over the past couple of years, you'll realize that the market is just absolutely flooded with people who are doing movie podcasts. And it's difficult to come up with an interesting angle. And quite frankly, sometimes the angles are a little bit goofy and it's just a bunch of people sitting around talking about movies who have no particular interest in them, or, you know, they have a weird angle they're coming at it, like they do bad movies or they'll do, you know, specific genre movies or something like that. Well, I figured like this, I have a passion for movies myself. I prefer to talk to people who also have a passion for movies and particularly movies that I enjoy myself. But again, this is just another movie podcast. So, you know, it's just another group of people sitting around talking about movies. And so I thought that would be, a suitable title for this particular podcast. Until later on, hopefully maybe students will take it over and we'll change the name. You know, who knows? Who knows? But today, Xavier and I are going to go ahead and talk about Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and it's interesting to me because we've actually got it running in the background. You can't hear it because I've got the volume turned all the way down, but it starts off very interestingly where it doesn't start off like a normal Star Wars movie started off with, like the word crawler that goes off into the horizon. You know, it doesn't give you any backstory. It just kind of dumps you right into the story. And so this is one of the things that really jumps out if you're a Star Wars fan, that it starts out that way versus a normal Star Wars movie. And I don't know, Xavier, what do you think? Do you think that was a better way to do it, or how do you, what's your take on it?
I honestly think it was a better way. It was a better way for them to do it. Solely because, you know, with the other movies, because of the time gap, we needed to know, you know, what happened beforehand. But with Rogue One, sure, we don't know what happened beforehand, but it's not like what happened beforehand was going to directly affect the movie.
So you're saying beforehand, as in, since this movie, for those of you who don't know, this movie actually is, chronologically, it takes place in between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. And if you want to go by the numbers, that's number 3 and number 4.
Yep.
But if you want to do in the order that they were put out, that's actually number 1 and number 6,
yeah,
in how they were put out. So it's interesting to me that they decided, because this is a standalone story. This isn't something that, we'll talk about this in greater detail in a minute, but because this is a standalone story, you don't necessarily need a whole lot of backstory, but it would be an interesting thing to maybe give an audience, especially a new audience,
yeah,
a little bit of information about what's going on. Now, you know, Xavier, that,
yes,
that in the middle of what's going on here is that the Clone Wars have wound to an end, and there's this dead time where the Empire starts to get its really starts to build its strength.
Yeah.
And so the rebellion is starting to grow. The rebellion at this point is about to take the first steps into making its first significant attack against the Empire, and it's interesting to me how they decided to go ahead and portray the rebellion at this point. And
yeah,
and what would you think?
I honestly think that the way they portray the rebellion, it's less of a, you know, side army similar to the elves and the dwarves in Lord of the Rings, but more like the central army, like in trying to think of a good movie.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. Or actually, I'm going to revert from movie to series.
Sure.
Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where instead of focusing more on the heroes, they focus more on the characters on the side that sometimes assist the heroes but are primarily working with the top secret background.
Exactly, exactly. So what we're getting in this movie is we're getting kind of the background, you know, who's actually running the rebellion versus our heroes, Luke, Leia, and Han, you know, who are the poster children for the rebellion, if you will, after, well, at least they're not at this point, because there are no quote-unquote heroes at this point of the rebellion. There's just the rebellion, and we really don't know, you know, who else is out there who might be fighting the Empire necessarily, but we do know that, obviously, that this is been going on for some time, and that it is a mixture of almost every conceivable, you know, race of alien and human and everything else, and so it's truly a group of beings that are opposed to this monolithic power that is the Empire, and so it really gives you an idea of at least where A New Hope is coming from. So but, excuse me, I shouldn't cough on microphone. We should know better than that. But anyway, one of the things that struck me about this particular movie also is that it's really gritty. Now, Star Wars in general has always been filmed to have kind of a used look, whereas Star Trek and some of the other you know, science fiction films of the late 60s, early 70s were these idealized, beautiful worlds, you know, where everything's sparkling and clean. George Lucas really wanted his world to look like people lived in it, to look like beings lived in it. And so that is really brought to life in this particular movie, I think, by the very fact that one of our heroes from the very beginning doesn't have any compunction at all about killing his contact.
No.
You know, I mean, he just goes right ahead and kills the guy just to get away from stormtroopers. And you know, I thought that was very not the typical hero of Star Wars. So.
No.
But did you think that were you surprised by that at all, or was it something that you yourself thought was added to the story, or does it go against the grain of Star Wars, or what do you think?
Personally, I was shocked that, like, I knew that he was going to shoot the guy, but I thought it was going to be more shooting the leg, that way he'd be stopped instead of the other guy, not full-on killing the guy.
Yeah, like injure him or something, but, you know, but unfortunately, he did. He just flat-out killed him, and so I think that also opened the tone of the movie to a new idea that, this is not necessarily about good guys and bad guys. This is about everything that's in between as well. This is about survival against an overwhelming enemy. This is about doing what was necessary at the time. And I think later it does set up the actions that, I know the character's name. What is that character's name?
The one that ends up shooting?
Yeah, the shooting the guy. What is
Cassian.
His? Cassian, thank you very much. Yes, Cassian. Yeah, Captain Cassian or whatever. And he ends up being a character later on that is supposed to actually kill one of the main characters.
Yes.
And yet he you know, you see that conflict within him because he ends up not doing it, even though seconds later, spoiler alert, the character does die anyway, so it doesn't matter necessarily. But but I think the main character, Jen Erso, is a really fascinating character, and her relationship and how she comes into the picture is very interesting. Do you remember where was she? I can't remember why she was where she was. Where was she when we first were introduced to her?
Well, technically, when we were first introduced to her, she was on her home planet with her family, and they were trying to escape from the Empire.
That's true. That she was a little kid. That's right. I forgot about that. But yeah. I mean, but then later she was in. She looked like she was imprisoned for something.
Yeah.
Was that a prisoner transport of some sort?
It was.
Okay. Yeah. I was curious about what led her to that spot. You know, because she's obviously in cuffs or something. But
I'm pretty sure it was something along the lines of because of how she seems to want to rebel against everything. It had something to do with, the Empire wanted some sort of order, and Jin didn't enjoy that.
No, more than likely, yeah. I mean, she obviously, since her father was taken by the Empire, and it's revealed that he is actually the architect of the Death Star.
Yeah.
And I think that's fascinating because it was teased. The Death Star was teased in Revenge of the Sith and Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
And because on several different occasions you see plans that were in a holographic form in those other films, but we don't know who actually ended up building it. And now we find out that it's this guy, not Jen Erso, but... what's his name? I can't remember. I'm horrible with names in movies. I know that the guy who plays him has been in a ton of things that he's awesome in. But
yeah, personally, I'm great I'm great with names as long as it's the main characters.
Main character names. Yeah.
Sadly, I think it was Galen.
Galen Erso. Yeah. Thank you very much. See, now if you were to spark me, I can remember it. But
yeah,
no, I'm actually do okay with most of it. So we got Jen Erso. We've got Cassian. Her father, Galen Erso, who is a architect of the Death Star, and then, there are a host of other characters that are involved that do get introduced. But I think one of my favorites, and one of the things that Star Wars does really well, where a lot of the other science fiction franchises don't do well with, but they manage to humanize robots. A lot more. And the robot in this, K2SO, otherwise just known as K, has a sense of humor that is absolutely acidic. Just so cutting. And it's one of my favorite parts of the movie. I don't know what you thought, but...
Yeah, I think that K2 is by far one of my favorite droids in the Star Wars universe.
He's hilarious. And the fact that he was an Imperial, what kind of droid was he? It was some sort of an Imperial, not an interrogator droid, but a security droid of some sort for the Empire. Mm-hmm. But, coming out of the prequel trilogy where droids played such a huge role... Mm-hmm. In those, and then we get this droid that obviously had been reprogrammed by the Alliance, the Rebels, and has become more of an ally to Cassian in particular. Mm-hmm. But the one-liners that come out of this droid are hilarious.
Yeah,
and it's funny because here we are used to stuffy C-3PO or incomprehensible R2-D2.
Yeah.
Here we finally have a droid that not only is he understandable, but is relatable on a lot of different levels. So.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know how you felt about it and by the way, for those of you who have not seen Rogue One, go out and see Rogue One. And if you don't want to have things spoiled, don't listen to this podcast before, you watch it. But K2, unfortunately, towards the end of the film, kind of gives up his life to save Cassian and Jen and really makes it possible for them to finally get the Death Star plans. But that was the other interesting thing about this entire film, is that all of these fascinating characters are introduced, but then they're all killed off.
Yeah.
And what is the character you think you would have liked to have seen survive?
It would either be K2 or Droot.
Who is that?
He was the blind guy who was introduced.
Gotcha. So this blind guy, he's a force adept, I would call him. Not necessarily a Jedi, but if there's someone who is definitely in touch with the force and yet not able to get quite into the whole world of the Jedi, this guy would definitely be him, you know? Yeah, and the fact that he was blind and that well, he was just absolutely bad. You know, he was... I don't know. Interesting. We just kind of got derailed there for a moment. We had I had to pause the recording because apparently they're testing the PA system here in the school. But so, yeah, all of these characters are... we were talking about the blind Jedi Force... not Jedi, but Force Adept. And he... It got a little annoying, his repetition of "I am one with the Force," the, you know, whatever he was saying.
I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me.
Yeah, that's it got a little annoying after a while, but I think that it definitely got the point across that this particular character was kind of one of those guys who was a true believer.
Yes.
You know, definitely a true believer in the Force, and his sidekick with one of the biggest guns in all of the Star Wars franchises was definitely, definitely they had kind of a, how would you describe their relationship?
I would describe it similar, like similar, but at the same time different to Han and Chewie's, in a sense of they're both dependent on each other, and yet they both tend to get annoyed with each other as well.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. And fortunately, though, we could we could understand both of them, whereas we have to rely on Han or whoever else is in the room to translate for Chewie.
Yeah.
But yeah, he definitely was the muscle to the brains, if you will. Even though they both, you know, they both were pretty good with their weapons and whatnot. And the fact that the blind guy could hit a TIE fighter screaming down out of the atmosphere with his, it was the only way I could describe it. It was like a slingshot weapon almost, you know, it, more than anything. It was what I think, Chewie's bowcaster is kind of like.
Yeah.
It was a projectile weapon, but not a, a laser weapon, but.
No.
But anyway, throughout the movie, the whole idea is that they're trying to find a way to find the Death Star plans and then get them transmitted to the rebellion. And the interesting thing again is that every single one of the characters has its own personal flaws, its own personal way of going about it doing this, and yet they all come together as kind of a group in the end. Were you excited about that? Were you disappointed by that? Was it something that is kind of a movie stereotype, or what do you think?
Personally, it would depend on the movie. For this movie, personally, I enjoyed the fact that they were able to join together as one group in order to complete a cause, like getting the plans for the Death Star.
Because, again, it comes back to, like, Star Wars. They all come from different parts, you know, the original Star Wars, where they all were these disparate group of, you know, people who came together and to the same cause. And then, again, for the Death Star plan, they always seem to be chasing after Death Star plans for whatever reason. Okay, so, they always do seem to be chasing after the Death Star plans and whatnot, but I don't know. One of the things about the Star Wars universe that I have always enjoyed are the aliens themselves, and in this particular movie, it introduces some pretty bizarre alien races. In particular, there's one called Borgullet. It seems to be some sort of a mind-reading, octopus-looking slug thing that drives people crazy. And it's, I don't know, it's never explained what it is or other than it sucks the truth out of your head, which is, again, a lot darker than most of the other movies have been in the past, so.
Yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure Rogue One would be the darkest of all the Star Wars movies.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. And I'm looking forward to seeing how, you know, now that the entire run of the initial Skywalker saga is over, I'm looking forward to more shows like Rogue One or like The Mandalorian, which is outstanding. Mandalorian is one of those that, I don't know if you've seen the entire run so far, but it's marvelous. It's like a space western, and I absolutely love it. But But the characters in Rogue One remind me very much so of the characters that are brought forth in The Mandalorian, a lot more so. So, and I think that that's, while, you know, they're not one-offs, I think that that definitely, again, my apologies, we're having to start and stop the recording here as we're discovering that they are here in the building trying to test the PA system, which is fine. But it does kind of derail us a little bit on the conversation that we're trying to have.
Yeah.
But so the story itself is fascinating as far as I'm concerned. And it does kind of fill in some of the gaps that maybe people might have had as to how the plans came into the hands of the rebellion.
Yeah.
And it does show at the end Princess Leia. So yeah, once again, interrupted by the testing, but that's okay. So Princess Leia came in contact with the Death Star plans there at the end, and in the spaceship Tantive, anyway, it's a blockade runner.
Yeah.
And it's one of the cooler ship designs, I think, in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And they actually showed in this movie, which I thought was really interesting, and this is kind of going off story point, but they actually showed a blockade runner doing what a blockade runner was supposed to do.
Yeah.
The ram ship, when he ran that ship right into the side of the Star Destroyer and then crashed the two together, and that was just absolutely brilliant.
I know.
And finally, yay, we get to see what some of these were built for and whatnot. They're purpose-driven ships, but... Mm-hmm. As always, the special effects were all just, it's almost as though, and I don't know if this is the same way for you, Xavier, but for me, it's almost second nature now, whereas you just don't even think about the special effects. They're just there, and they don't stand out, but because it's Star Wars, it's such a part of it that you wouldn't even, you know, expect anything different than what it is. You know what I mean? You wouldn't expect bad special effects. But but for me, I think that once again, because it's become such a part of our, movie culture, that it just all seamlessly blends together, and that you just, you know, again, oh, it's just a flying ship. Oh, it's just a droid wandering around. Oh, it's, you know, just this or just that. Whereas even 20 years ago, would have been absolutely phenomenal to see some of the special effects that we're seeing now, you know, because they would have had to been done practically, which would have been possible in some cases, but definitely not as beautiful as what it is now.
Yeah.
The invent of computer, generated graphics has obviously changed the landscape, and it just keeps getting better and better and better, but... So anyway, I really enjoyed Rogue One. The soundtrack for Rogue One, while not written by John Williams, was definitely inspired by John Williams. And there was some, you know, of his music interwoven in throughout the majority of the film, particularly towards the end with the end credits. But overall, it had that feel... But you didn't get the themes, you know. You didn't get the Imperial March theme. You didn't get Luke and Leia's theme. You didn't get, you know, some of the other things that we're used to hearing throughout Star Wars films. And which is great because it does introduce the fact that this is not just, you know, the Skywalker world Star Wars. You know, this is, you know, its own thing too. Yeah. So. Which leaves open the possibility of even bigger and better soundtracks, hopefully. But
yeah, hopefully.
I mean, John Williams. I don't know how familiar you are with John Williams soundtracks, but I'm sure you're pretty well versed in those. But I mean, he wrote the book on what to do with a good soundtrack. So,
yeah.
I mean, all throughout the 80s and into the 90s, if it had a John Williams soundtrack, it was more than likely an awesome film.
Yeah.
And it was either directed by Steven Spielberg or George Lucas. So, But anyway, so what are some other thoughts you had about Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, Xavier?
I think Rogue One is one of the most underrated Star Wars movie that's ever been made. And it's because when you walk up to people and you ask them, hey, have you seen Rogue One? You know, what'd you think about it? They're usually asking either what Rogue One is, or they're like, I've seen it, but I didn't really get too far into it. It was slow.
Okay, why do you think people think that way? I mean, what is it about Rogue One that made them maybe not like it as much as some of the other films?
Well, one of the reasons could easily be the fact that instead of filling the cast with a combination of new characters and some of the original characters, and they went with almost a completely different cast, as well as in the trailer, they teased Vader, who does show up throughout the movie, but he isn't known as the main villain of the film.
That is very true. You know, it's interesting. They did tease Vader in the trailer, but he doesn't show up until the very end.
No.
And it is arguably one of the coolest Vader, you know, using his powers scenes ever. I mean,
yeah.
It's brief. It probably only lasts about 15 seconds, but again, Vader does show us what he had been doing in that interim between coming, you know, Darth Vader, becoming Darth Vader, and, you know, when we first are introduced to him in Star Wars A New Hope.
Yeah.
But, it's interesting you mentioned the cast. It's almost a completely unknown cast. I mean, there are some names in there. There are some character actors who you would definitely recognize.
Yeah.
But you're right. For the most part, almost all of them are unknowns. And I think that, me personally, I think that worked in its favor.
Yeah.
Because you weren't coming in with preconceived notions of how these people were supposed to be, whether it's a preconceived idea of how, you know, Harrison Ford acts or preconceived notion of how Ewan McGregor acts or anything like that. You are coming into it thinking, well, I've never seen this person. So, well, let them be new and interesting and fun all at the same time. And I think that word really worked in its favor. And while I agree, I think it's a very underrated movie, I think it's underrated for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's brilliantly made, and the storytelling was very well done. And honestly, if I had to really, you know, give my ranking of this is in my top 3, or if not my top 5 of the Star Wars films, of all of the Star Wars films, definitely. Mm-hmm. But then my number 1 is Empire Strikes Back, though.
Of course.
So, yeah, well, of course. But it's definitely up there in the movies. Even though it's not part of the Skywalker, you know, story, it does lend itself to it throughout. So, mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see where Star Wars goes in the future with the end of the Skywalker, you know, thread now.
Yeah, the Skywalker saga.
Now that it's done, mm-hmm. and that. Well, is it done? That's the question I have, because Rey took up the mantle of Skywalker at the end there, and so it's possible we could get more, but we know that Luke and Leia and Han's journey is over.
Yeah.
And so, while there might still be mentions of them in other movies or whatnot, I really firmly believe they're never going to go and revisit those ever again, necessarily.
Yeah.
But,
I'd say it'd be like Robert Downey Jr. and the MCU, where after Iron Man's passing in Endgame, there have been multiple mentions of Iron Man and Tony Stark throughout the Spider-Man Far From Home, and rumors of other plot points revolving around the Iron Man character in the future. He has specifically stated that he will not be taking part in any future productions.
Right. He won't take the spotlight. I guarantee you he will show back up again, though, and in little, like, cameo roles and stuff like that.
I think the only major role he might go back to would be for the Marvel What If Disney Plus series that they're coming out with.
Disney Plus is coming with a What If series?
Yes.
When is that coming out?
I believe in 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That'd be really fascinating. Because then all of those questions that, for those of you that are not familiar with the What If series, Marvel Comics put out a run of standalone comics basically that asked the question, what if? And that question could be, what if, you know, say for instance, in this case, it'd be, what if Tony Stark survived the Endgame? And what happened next? Or what if, you know, Thor didn't get fat? Or, you know, whatever. But it would be posing these questions that basically fans would love to have answered, but were never quite answered or couldn't be answered in a normal story run. So now you're telling me they're making like a series out of it.
Yeah, that was their plan. It was supposed to be an animated series, and they currently have a few of these story ideas up. Like, one of the, I believe it was the first story they were planning on doing was, what if Peggy Carter took up the role of Captain America?
Peggy Carter. Oh, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Didn't they mess around with that in the MCU for, not the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the...
comics?
In the comics, yeah, they messed around with that for a while, though.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, yeah, I could see that, definitely.
Yeah, and their other plan for it was, since there's going to be 23 episodes, they're planning on having it where each episode touches on a different Marvel movie.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, yeah. Interesting. So it'll maybe go in order of the movies as they came out, the Iron Man movies and then whatnot, do you think? Or do you think it'll be more loose than that?
I think it'll be more loose. I think it'll be more, hey, ever wondered what happened to Abomination?
No kidding. What did happen to Abomination? He was a great character, wasn't killed at the end of that movie, so no. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, there'd be that, there'd be something like, what if the Collector ended up getting all these stones before Thanos was able to begin his collection?
Oh, see, now that's fascinating too.
Yeah.
What is that group? Are they the Eternals? Is that who they are? The Collector and the Game Master.
The Celestials.
It's the same group as Ego is a part of, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. But the Celestials, you know, they all have this superpower, unbelievable godlike power, and yet they're children, essentially. And that's what struck me anyway, especially with the Collector and the Game Master. They're basically just really old little kids. So, but yeah, well, that's fascinating. No, I think that the sky is the limit as far as with the Star Wars universe. I'd love to have more conversation about the MCU. By the way, we're going to have to come back and have definite conversations about the MCU. But and that's fascinating, by the way, that you brought that the what if thing up. I can't wait for that. But there's rumors now about, well, it's not rumors. There's going to be an Obi-Wan series.
Yes.
But that I think recently was put on hold.
Yes, it is currently put on hold. It has been confirmed by both Ewan McGregor and the director of the series.
Why? What was the reason for that being put on hold?
I could not find anything revolving around why.
That's a horrible tease, because that would have been great.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure what the hold was about was either casting issues or creative differences.
Well, I know that it fits perfectly. Ewan McGregor is at the age right now where he could step right into the Obi-Wan Kenobi role in those years between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope and fit perfectly that role. Because you know that he didn't spend his entire, you know, whatever, how old was Luke? He was maybe 16, 17 years old when we saw him first.
19.
19 years old, okay. So it was almost 20 years that he spent. So you know that in that time between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, that he didn't spend it all on Tatooine staring at Luke. He had to have had adventures in there, and that's when this was supposed to have been taken place, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and that would be very much fun to see. So definitely we're going to have to talk more about Star Wars and more about the other movies and more about Obi-Wan and when The Mandalorian, the new series. We might have to do a whole standalone on The Mandalorian if you're up for it. I mean, we'll have to do that. So
I mean, it'd mean I'd have to rewatch the show, but I mean...
That would be...
It's a great show.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to rewatch that.
I've only watched it once through, too, and so I would love to watch that again. There's so much to pick through in that one, though. Mm-hmm. So we'll save that for another podcast, definitely.
Yes.
How about some closing thoughts about Rogue One? What do you think, Xavier?
I think Rogue One is personally one of my favorites of all of the Star Wars movies. It takes place at a part where you don't really understand. It's not where you know where things are going on. You don't know, like, what's going to happen. Like, you do know eventually when they get the plans for a Death Star, it'll go to Leia, but you don't know the process of it. You don't know whether or not the characters are going to survive or not.
And I think that makes it very interesting. That in and of itself is what holds the attention, I think, of the watcher, because these are brand new characters. You're thinking to yourself, well, how are they going to carry these characters through? And they don't.
Yeah.
They kill them all. Mm-hmm. I mean, from K2 to Cassian to Jen to Galen to all of the cast of characters that they introduce in this movie, they basically kill them all at the end and make it impossible for us to pick them up where we left them, which, bittersweet, but I also think was an absolutely brilliant move on the part of the makers of this movie, because it allows them then to say, well, we don't have to go back and visit those characters because they're not there. So, now we just have to go on and make new and interesting stories. And because Star Wars encompasses a universe, the number of stories with the number of different races and the number of different alien species and everything that are out there, I mean, the limit is, well, it's limitless, obviously.
Yeah.
So, and I can't wait to see where it goes. And even though it's in a, you know, evil corporate entity called Disney's hands, that's all right. The mouse hasn't totally ruined everything yet. I mean, not yet, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
The one thing I hope they never truly get a hold of is Deadpool, but, you know, that's a whole different podcast, too.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But anyway, my own thoughts about Rogue One, I agree with you, Xavier. I think that it is underrated, but it is one of the better of the movies, one of the best of the movies that was made in the series, even though it's technically outside of the series, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. But, I look forward to them doing more movies like this because while I was definitely invested in the characters of Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Princess Leia from the very moment that I saw them on the screen when I was a little kid, it's good to be able to just watch one movie, set it aside, and like it for what it is, and enjoy the story in a nutshell the way they did with this one and have it be its own little thing. So... It's going to be interesting, like I said, to see where they go. But for the most part, I look forward to it, and I hope that those come out sooner rather than later, even though I think they've got kind of a pause on things right now while they're doing the Mandalorian and, you know.
Yeah, and with the recent pushback of the Obi-Wan series and the push forward of the WandaVision series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, WandaVision should be interesting to see, too. But, again, MCU.
Yep.
We'll have to come back to that some other time. So,
yes.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you've enjoyed our first official recording of Just Another Movie Podcast. We hope to get more people involved with this podcast in the future and, you know, more topics out there. If there's a movie that you particularly would like us to break down, to talk about, to have an argument about, if you know, that could happen too. I don't know, who knows. But I would love to have you on the podcast. We've got four open microphones right here, so it's just, you know, Xavier and I right now. But, you know, we'll see next time if Xavier wants to come back or if I get somebody else who wants to come in and But for now, that's the end of the podcast. My name is Mr. Randolph, and this is...
Xavier Dean,
and we are finishing up Just Another Movie Podcast, and we will hopefully talk to you all very, very soon. Until next time.